The Last Resort Podcast with Jesse Case.
Podcast time. Who's pumped? Are you pumped? Walter, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling well.
Good, man. Good. Glad you've cheered up a little bit.
Don't bring that up.
Well, we'll talk.
I don't want to talk about it.
I want to talk to you about it.
So annoying.
Well, listen. Just give me a minute here, Walter. You know, I'm doing the opening monologue.
You address me.
Don't interrupt the monologue.
You ask me a question.
Okay. All right.
Fucking dick.
Settle down. Walter, I'm going to give you the... Walter, I'll give you a back rub.
You never give me back rubs anymore.
Well, no, I've been busy.
Can they hear this?
No, I've got the mic covered.
We had a back rub deal.
I've been busy, Walter.
I need a back rub.
I'll give you a back rub.
No.
Who's my tin man? Who's my big tin man?
I'm your tin man.
I know. Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh,
my.
Can we just stay in?
Okay. All right. Tonight, we'll do whatever you want to do.
Are you lying?
We'll just stay in. We'll just stay in, Walter.
I'd like a nice romantic evening for once.
Okay. Let's get back to the show here. All right. So, sorry about that.
Did they hear that?
No, I don't think any of that came through the mic. Anyway, this is going to be a short episode. I know every time it starts with an apology, but I apologize for not having one up last week. We've been very busy. We've been working on our secret projects.
Top secret projects.
A lot of secret projects going on. I don't like to talk about other things I'm involved in. Because people will shit on your dreams, and if nothing comes of it, then you don't look like an arrogant douche. But got some stuff I'm excited about that I've been working on down here in Hollywood, and so that's been fun. Plus, a lot of stand-up.
Jesse has been working on his Montreal set very hard.
That's right. I've been on stage every night this last week trying to get this set tightened up for the Montreal. Callback thing. I really want to get in that festival, man. Walter has been tightening up his first set that he ever did.
I don't want to talk about that.
I want to talk about it because you're depressed about it, Walter.
Seriously.
You feel like you bombed. I don't think you bombed. I think it was interesting. I think it was more memorable than what I did that night. Anyway, this is going to be a stand-up episode. It's going to be short. I get a lot of emails here. We get a lot of emails. I've gotten some great questions about stand-up comedy. And as everyone knows that's emailed me, I email you back personally, or I just email you and say I'm going to put your question on the air, provided you have complete anonymity. So I've got a question I'm going to read on the air here and answer it up. It's going to be a short episode. We're going to keep it tight because we've got two episodes coming up that are very important. This weekend, my mother's coming to visit me. She's coming. And I'm going to talk to her. We're going to talk about healthcare. We're going to talk about the healthcare debate. We're going to. She's a doctor. She just got her doctorate. I'm very proud of her. We're going to talk about. What it's like to be my mother. We're going to talk about my dad. We're going to get to the bottom of some issues, and I'm excited about it. And then the next week, I'm at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon, with all kinds of people. So I'm just going to set up shop in my hotel room. Walter and I are going to set up a little studio up there, and we're going to have all kinds of people in. And we're going to do just little short interviews. And I want to get, like, everybody on there. So that's going to be awesome.
Moving on.
Anyway, yeah, I've been tightening up this set this whole week. And the reason I couldn't record during the day, you ask, the reason we haven't been able to do the podcast is because, like I said, I live with two kind of older guys at this huge house. It's great. But we've had this family that's been staying with us. Which is the homicide detective and his wife and their daughter, who's six. And it was her spring break. She's in first grade or something. She might be seven. It was her spring break, Easter spring break. So they've been home all day. I can't record when they're home because the language might get weird or whatever. And and then we always get into these weird debates about Walter.
It makes me very uneasy.
I know. It makes him uncomfortable. But I'm a big advocate for... I'm a big advocate for robot adoption.
Robots need homes.
And on a future episode, I'm going to give out some info on how you can adopt a robot and how you can get that going. So that'll be good because I really feel strongly about it. What I've been doing, okay, is every night, I like to have a midnight snack.
Badass.
You know, I like to have a midnight snack. I put Walter down at you know, 9:30, 11 p.m. on the weekends.
I deserve to stay up later.
I like to have a midnight snack. So I go down there, and there's always a bag sitting on the counter that has a bunch of snacks in it. You know, it'll have, like, maybe a little six-pack of Oreos, like at one of those gas station 7-Eleven packs of Oreos. Or maybe a little bag of chips, like that you would get at a Subway. A little bag of Cooler Ranch Doritos. There's always different items in there. It's like our junk food bag. So I take an item, I eat it. You know, no big deal. I was confronted by the homicide detective. And he's like, hey, man, notice some stuff's going on, missing from the bag. Now, he's a detective, okay? He already knows the answer. That's how cops operate, is you have to, he just wants the confession. They already know the answer before they question you. So I just said, yeah, man, that was me. Do I owe you some money for some snack rations? And he goes, no, that's not the issue. The issue is that, you know, I make the sandwich in the morning, but that's part of my daughter's lunch that we pack every night.
Fucking pathetic.
So I know, Walter. Pathetic. I've been stealing lunch from a little girl for like a month and didn't know it.
Poor girl.
You know, she's been going to school, watching everybody else eating with their, you know, their private school fondue kits. She's just sitting there with her peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Nothing to look forward to. You know, she had to learn about George Washington for an hour. Now there's nothing to look forward to. It's ridiculous. I feel terrible about it. But I don't know what it's like living with a little girl. I mean, I'm an only child, so I only had me to deal with. There was never anyone younger in the house. So that didn't even occur to me that I was stealing lunch. If there's like a heaven and like a Pearly Gates type scenario, that shit's going to come up like first. Like, I'm going to get up there. They're going to work me up. Who runs the Pearly Gates?
There is no such thing as heaven.
Right, Walter, but in the myths.
St. Peter. He's the bouncer or some shit.
So St. Peter is going to, he's going to start with that. So you stole lunches from a little girl, huh? I mean, yeah. And then they'll get to all the crazy, embarrassing shit later. But that's pretty bad. Anyway, I just did a show called the Minute Mic, which I hosted. It's 60 comedians, 60 comedians doing a minute. And doing a minute of material. So the show lasts roughly an hour. And Walter feels that he killed the momentum, but he did his first stand-up set. And I'm going to play it.
No.
Walter, this is our stand-up comedy episode because I'm going to answer this question. So I want to play it. I feel like it's important.
It's terrible.
Well, let's let the listeners decide, and then we can break down the set a little bit. All right.
It was my first time.
Okay. So I'm gonna play it. Here we go. Here's Walter's first set ever doing stand-up comedy at the Minute Mic. And that's why I'm submitting this proof that Nancy Grace and Natalie Holloway are the same person. Yeah, you guys ready for a great show? Come on, you ready for more show? We're at the Minute Mic. This is gonna be great. This next guy I'm bringing up to the stage, very good friend of mine. We live together. This is his first time on stage. I know, it's very exciting. Popping the cherry, first time on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, give a nice warm welcome to Walter.
What is this? This could not be for real.
No.
This is the joke.
This gotta be a joke.
Thank you, humans. Greetings. Keep it going for your host, Jesse. I will now engage you in comedic observations while standing.
I don't understand.
Three people of various ethnic background walk into a tavern. The first two engage the bartender in intelligent conversation. The third demeans his entire race. People ask me all the time, Walter, what is the hardest part of being a robot? Well, when I have a wet dream, I get electrocuted. This motherfucker right here knows what I'm talking about. Who likes this loppy pussy? This guy knows what I'm talking about. Look at his jaw hanging open. He's been eating pussy all day. Yeah, he loves this loppy pussy. When I fuck a girl doggy style, I don't even have to do anything. I just said my dick to vibrate. The hardest thing about being a robot is that I always have a chip on my shoulder, literally. When I dance at the club, I do the human. I tried to get a job doing data entry. They just gave me a job as data. You guys seem like a fun crowd. That is my time. You have shown adequate stimulus response to the humor. Thank you.
All right, keep it going for Walter, everybody. First time on stage. Very exciting. I'm proud of you, buddy. You've earned the drink ticket. Earning those drink tickets. All right, you guys ready for more show?
No.
All right, this next guy coming up to the stage. Very funny. You've seen him on Frat Cruise. Keep it going for Ham Sandwich Sammy. All right. Well, Walter.
Oh, man.
What's your take, man? You know, we talked about your set a little bit afterwards. I thought the jokes were good. That chip on the shoulder joke's hilarious, dude.
I'm very proud of that joke.
Yeah, I think it's very, very funny. I think it's funny. I think it's smart. You know, it's a good twist. It's a pun. I'm always a fan of a good pun. So what are your thoughts on it?
Jesse, I bombed hard.
Why do you think that is, Walter?
They are not ready for the highbrow comedy of a robot.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that. I just think it needs more development. You seem to pander a little bit. You know, who likes the sloppy pussy? Like, you know, this guy knows what I'm talking about. It's just, that's, I've never been into that style of comedy. A lot of people do that when they're first starting out. You know, that's normal.
I want to please the people.
Yeah, you're a beginner, Walter. You're a beginner. You know, this takes time.
But I have access to every joke ever written in an instance.
Okay, well, it might not take as long for you, but, you know, you've still got to write your own jokes. You got to do your own thing. So,
Don't lecture me.
I know, Walter.
You don't care.
I do try to...
It's very insulting.
Walter?
Man,
Walter,
it's offensive.
I didn't mean to insult you, Walter. Just, dude.
What?
This always happens. This always...
It's your fault.
Can we just knock the question out? Let's just get the question out there, and then we can...
What question?
Because I got an email here.
Fine. Go
get
ahead.
Get the censorship button ready.
There's no censorship button.
No, we don't have a censorship... We don't have the beep?
No. This is a shitty recording studio.
Fuck you, Walter.
Fuck off, man.
All right, I'm gonna read the question, all right? And then we'll go get some food.
But I don't eat.
Well, I'm hungry, and I want you to sit with me because it makes me feel like I'm less alone in the world.
All humans are alone.
I know.
Too real?
We'll talk about that later. Okay. This is stand-up comedy questions from a beginning comics. If any of you out there are beginning comics, get out the pin. Dear Jesse, I'm just going to do my own censorship noises. The reason is, for political reasons, you know, as a comedian, I don't want anyone to be embarrassed that they ask for advice or something like that. I just don't want any of that out there. So, dear Jesse, my name is Heh, and I'm from Heh. I caught a few of your sets when you were up here. I'm a big fan. Well, thanks so much, man. I'm also listening to your podcast when I get the chance. The interview in your first episode was really interesting, and it brought up a few questions I have. I'm new at stand-up. I've loved it since I can remember, but just recently got the balls to give it a try. Well, congratulations. I'm a very socially awkward person, and I was wondering if you had any advice for how to get past that when on stage. Also, how do you start conversations with other comics without sounding hopeless like I probably sound now? You don't sound hopeless, man. And in the chance you were giving out free comedy advice and do respond, I was just wondering about your writing habits or what habits you think a person would need to be successful. Do I need to be going to as many open mics as I can? I would really appreciate your thoughts because I like your comedy style. Good luck in L.A. I'll be sure to catch you when you do another show, and yeah, take it easy. Well, thank you. That was a very good question, and I'm going to try to answer it to the best of my ability. Everything you said is fine. You don't sound socially awkward. All comics are freaks. It's counterintuitive to even want to do it. So you have to realize right off the bat, something bizarre led us into this. Some comics, it's worse than others, you know. Some sort of heavy addiction or molestation or something. With me, I think it's probably just some sort of weird illness. I don't know. But I think I'm on the safe side of it. I think I came out well. But yeah, I mean, to want to do it is weird. So that being said, all comics are socially awkward and all comics are freaks, even though a lot of them pretend they're not. Here's the deal. When you go down to your first open mic, All right. You think that everyone else is full time. You think they're pro, but they're not. They're just like you. They've just been 3 months in. So you think they're really funny because the learning curve is so steep when you first start. It's amazing. Like every time you get on stage, you have another major revelation. I wouldn't recommend taking a class or reading a book or anything like that. You know, I mean, do it if you think it helps. It's important to learn how to write a joke. When you start doing stand up, you're just going to be probably just doing jokes, you know, bait and switch, you know, throw in a twist at the end. There's your punchline. And then later you realize it's kind of a simple thing. You want to do maybe chunks or something. Unless you're like a Hedberg or Nemo Phillips or Stephen Wright, you know, I don't feel that I'm that brilliant. So I just, I kind of like to do chunks and I like to talk about things that are, you know, I'm getting a lot less absurd on stage, I think. But that's me. And that happens later if it's going to happen. So don't even worry about it, dude. But yeah, as far as the socially awkward thing, keep in mind that everyone you see at an open mic started in the exact same boat. Getting up on stage the first time is terrifying. I think I blacked out when I did it. You know, I was sober, but I don't even remember really what happened. It was too much adrenaline. Like, my vision went weird. I barely remember my first set. I remember what I talked about. I remember what the host said afterwards, and I bombed, dude. Bombed hard. But I came back and then bombed again. I kept bombing. Every week, once a week for a few months. You know, this was in Nashville. There was only a weekly open mic there that wasn't at the comedy club, and I didn't feel I was good enough to, you know, go to the club yet or whatever. I'm glad I waited. But, yeah, dude, it takes a lot of time. But keep in mind that all those comics, you're going to go there, and some comics are jerks, okay? And the reason is, okay, that they all started socially awkward. Not a lot of friends in high school. Not popular, or what they feel is not popular. A lot of comics feel they never got the respect they deserved in life, you know, and sort of see that's the whole comic attitude is, man, everything's bullshit, man. I'm going to tear down the walls on the Google Tower 7, bro. So then they start doing stand up and they finally find peers, which is a positive thing. I mean, that's great that there's people you can relate to. I mean, comedy really, you know, saved me in a lot of ways, man. I mean, there's people that you actually feel you can identify with, and, oh, I'm not alone in this crazy world. But then that goes to a lot of their heads because they're actually popular in a group for the first time. And then they have a tendency to be a dick to the new guy. Any comic that's doing that to you, screw it. Fuck them. You know what I mean? Seriously. Don't worry about it. They're not funny, all right? They're already too bitter about too many things, and they would rather hang out and be the cool guy and get comfortable than get funny. So don't worry about it. Hang out with comics that are nice to you. And as far as how do you start talking to comics, just don't be annoying. Just don't be on. You know, go up trying to make them laugh. And no one likes a comic that's on all the time. You know, you get off stage, the job's done. I mean, most comics, we just talk about music and movies we saw and shit like that. You know, and you talk shop. But it's not all jokes all the time. There's that. I'm still looking at your email here. Just got the balls to give it a try. Do I need to be going to as many open mics as I can? Yeah, dude. Yeah, you shouldn't even be asking me that. You should want to. You know, you got to get on stage every night. And nights that you're not on stage, you have to go to a show. You know, little inside secret about comedy. Once you know the club owner or you know the people at the club, and you're a comic, provided the show's not sold out, like on the weekends, you can just go watch the show for free. You can go see these comedians that you really like, you know, once you're sort of in that circle. So, yeah, man, I mean, and you know, you might have to do the two-item minimum or whatever down at the club, but you can definitely go watch, and that's how you learn. You know, you learn what to do, learn what not to do. Yeah, you need to do this every night. It really is a full-time job. And the better a comedian is, the less work appears to have gone into it. You know, they're just up there just riffing. They're just that funny. No, they're not. You know what I mean? You have to work really, really hard. So as far as my writing habits, write every day. I wake up, I do a 10-minute free write. I do it longhand. I don't know why. I tried it on the computer for a while. It wasn't working as well. And don't backspace. Don't spell check yourself. None of that. I mean, doing it longhand, obviously, there's no backspace. But don't erase. Just keep your pen on the paper and just write. And it's not funny. You know, it looks like scribblings of a serial killer, but it just sort of gets it out of you. You know, sort of, you get that muscle going for the day. And then I'll take some premises I've written down. I'll try to punch them up a little. Try to figure it out. I mean, when you really get into stand-up comedy, it really is all you think about. Everything is related to that. It's always in the back of your mind. It's like when you just went through a big breakup. There's like that bruise that's always there. And then sometimes like 5 minutes will go by, you realize you haven't been thinking about it. And then you're like, oh, wow, I just spent 5 minutes. Wow, that was cool. You know, it's kind of the same deal with stand-up comedy, only thinking about it doesn't suck. It's always there. It's a permanent injury. It's like a tumor in your head. And everything eventually gets filtered through that. I don't recommend anyone starting stand-up comedy. Only do this, dude, if you have to do it. And I don't mean financially or anything like that, because there's no fucking money. It takes a long time to start making good money. You know what I mean? Like, I'm barely making rent. But I don't have to sit in a cube for 8 hours a day. So it's great. But you, but I mean, I do it because I have to, you know? And I don't mean that in some destiny sense. Like, I don't mean that in the arrogant, I was born to do this. I have to do this. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean I'm necessarily going to be great at it, or I'm meant to do it, or destined for any sort of fame or fortune or greatness, but I have to do it. Whether I'm going to remain mediocre at it or not for my whole life, I don't know. But that doesn't matter really, because it's something I have to do. Like I said, it's almost like an illness. Like, I don't know why anyone would want to do it. It's very counterintuitive to stand in front of a group of strangers and think that what you have to say is important. And also, once you start doing shows that people pay good money for, I'm not talking about little $5 bar shows or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, $30 a ticket, two-item minimum, where it's a Friday night, they got dressed up. Some of them hired babysitters. That's easily a $200 night for them. And you got to be in front of them for 30 to 45 minutes. You know, that's a lot of pressure, and I really do think about that. Things like that, man, that will drive you crazy. So it's important to, stay healthy, you know, you stay mentally sound. You ask what habits can help you, become successful. Well, I'm not successful, so I don't know. But I know that, working hard, trying to work harder than everyone else is very important. A lot of people that know me don't really know that. I mean, I really do downplay my work ethic, just because I don't like, because like I said, that's like an insecurity, because that way, then if it doesn't work out, I can just tell people, oh, well, I was just fucking off. But you have to work very, very hard at it. You know what I mean? Very hard. And staying mentally sort of sound is one of those things. Stay sober, man. That's important. I don't mean don't drink. You know, if you smoke pot, you want to have a joint every now and then, whatever, but don't go up wasted. Don't get wasted at every show you do. Cause then you don't learn anything. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, part of it is the journey. It is a lot of fun. You're going to make lifelong friends. Should you choose to, go further with it, you know, you're going to have experiences that no one else would even understand that are just insane. Completely insane. Sort of these weird rock star moments, only at a Denny's. it's a great amount of fun. But as far as those habits, man, I mean, stay mentally in shape. That's one of the most important things. As far as those habits to be successful, persistence. I mean, be a nice person, be humble. That'll take you further than anything else, man. I mean, like I said, a lot of people really are just kind of full of shit, and they're going to let themselves get comfortable. They're going to stay in whatever town they started in and try to be that big fish in a small pond and, you know, get the hand jobs after open mic from some skank that showed up for $2 Jell-O shots. But, you know, get out of your comfort zone. That's a very important thing to do, is to get out of your comfort zone. Write every day. When you first start, you're just scrambling for anything funny. If it's funny at all, you'll say it on stage. You really are kind of writing for an audience. Every comedian, when they start, is emulating what they think a comedian is. So you'll say shit like, so folks, you folks ready for, and you know, nobody says folks anymore. I mean, you call your parents folks, but you know, lady, am I right, ladies? Like, no one says ladies. I don't remember the last time I went to a restaurant. Like, oh, there's a lot of ladies in here. You know, no, they're not ladies. They're fucking broads. you know, it takes a while to somewhat become yourself up there. You never fully get it. I mean, a stand-up comic's job is never done. It's not like George Carlin sat back one day and he was like, ah, nailed it. I'm done. You know, you worked at it. You do it until you die. You're always, you know, as a stand-up comic, as far as achieving greatness with it, you're always kind of fighting the clock. But yeah, dude, you got to work at this very, very hard. I heard an interview with Louis C.K., who we talked about in the last podcast, and he talked about the odds of making it, you know, quote, making it in comedy are so rare that he doesn't understand why most people don't, why comics don't train for it like you would for the Olympics. And I completely agree. I mean, you know, you look at these kids in the Olympics, you know, some skater, they wake up at 3 a.m. to go skate 4 hours before school. And then they're doing it again after school. And then, you know, doing this amazing shit. Most of them don't never make it to the Olympics. It's the same deal in comedy. Every comic that you're really into, that everyone's heard of, worked harder than everyone else. All right. Some people get the lucky break. But they're flash in the pan comics. Every comic that everyone's heard of, you know, or most people have heard of, has been doing it for 20 years plus. You know, and that's the big secret. It's, how come I've just heard of them just now? It's like, well, every comic you see on Letterman, you know, has been doing it for at least 4 years. And those are the ones that first get on. You know, those are the ones that had just an epic amount of potential and an epic amount of growth and, you know, this great set that they were doing. But it's, you know, a lot of people, I think, are under the impression that comics are just comedians. They're just, they've always been that funny. And somebody that smoked a cigar said, you know, stopped in a limo one day when they were walking down the street, that kid's got the face I like. Put him in the picture. And, you know, that's never happened. You know, we're all clawing up the same mountain here. And you sort of make your own way. And find your own voice and develop your own style and do your own thing. But when you first start doing it, okay, just getting that initial laugh is enough to keep you going. I think if I had any idea how terrible I was when I first started, I would have quit. So yeah, there's a certain amount of delusions involved. So just keep in mind at all times that you're very, very funny, whether or not that's true. Is that good advice? I'm bad at giving advice. Because the main advice with being a comic, dude, is don't take advice from people. I mean, you know, some big booker might give you advice or something like that about how to, you know, but that's mainly more business advice or something like that. But as far as your act, you have to do what's true to you. You have to do what you want to do. You know, you have to do what's in you, in your soul. And that's it. That's all you can do. I mean, that's the fairest shot you can give it. And no one else could give you advice on how to be you. Nobody. Cause I've had comics come up like, oh, you should do this thing at the end of that joke. And it's like, nah, that's not me. I don't do racist jokes. You know, I might do a racial joke, but I don't do racist material or something like, oh yeah, but it'll be funny. It'll get a big laugh. Like, yeah, but a lot of other shit will get a big laugh too. You know, and I'm not too lazy to find what that is. So, yeah, dude. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. This is what do they call that in the therapy? Exposure therapy. That's what comedy basically is, all right? Is the more you do it, you'll figure it out on your own. Just realize you're not alone in it. And email me if you have any questions. Any questions at all, seriously, about the most minute little thing. Doesn't matter. You know? I'm here for you, man. jesse.s.case@gmail.com. All right, that's been the stand-up comedy episode. Next week, my mother's on. We're going to cover healthcare. We're going to solve the world's problems. After that, Bridgetown Comedy Festival. There's Maria Bamford, Mark Maron, Upright Citizens Brigade will be there. A million great comics. Go to bridgetowncomedyfestival.com. We got Jimmy Pardo. There's going to be a Conan writers panel. I'm going to try to get a lot of these people in and just do short little interviews. I might do it inside the Actors Studio style, where I just develop some standard questions I ask all of them. Anyway, it'll be good. So, I hope you guys listen to that. Thanks for listening. Walter and I have to go get some food.
I don't want to get food.
We're going to get some food, buddy. And then tonight's your night. Tonight we'll do whatever you want. No, I'm covering the mic now.
I want that back rub, man. Okay. I miss our romantic escapades.
All right. I'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening. From Walter and I, thanks a lot. Goodbye.